Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
You hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Basketball Association, the NBA. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have Jay Johnson. She is the co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast. The podcast covers the NBA from a woman's perspective and also looks at her beloved Toronto Raptors. On the show, we discuss former Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse. We also discuss the 2022-2023 Toronto Raptors season. Also, we talk about the NBA's presence in Toronto, the atmosphere at Raptors games, and so much more. Jade is coming up on this edition of the program. Plus, we give you the series lead in the 2023 first round NBA playoff matchups, the season award winners thus far, and so much more. So it's going to be a great show on this edition of At the Rim. I want to start off with my top three storylines. I want to start off talking about one of my favorite players in the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo. We know about Giannis's track record, two-time league MVP, also finals MVP, also someone that's been a defensive player of the year, multiple NBA All-Star appearances. What can you say about Giannis? I mean, he's been doing his thing since he's come into the league in 2013. And his story is just so amazing, being a son of Nigerian immigrants, living in Athens, Greece, and having to go through the trials and tribulations. Didn't start playing basketball until relatively late in his life, around between the ages, I would say maybe 13 or 14, something like that. But really worked his way up, and really not just a true American story, but just a true story for all human beings to follow. Unfortunately, Giannis and his team, the Milwaukee Bucks, they were the number one seed coming into the playoffs. They took on the 8th seed Miami Heat. They wound up losing in 5 games. They would lose the series 4-1. And it was a tough game 5 for the Milwaukee Bucks. Again, Giannis, the Bucks and the Heat wound up going in the overtime. They lost a tough game. And Giannis seemed a little perturbed at first, but he handled it with class when asked by one of the members of the media about, did he think his season was a failure? Here's Giannis.
I just asked Bud the exact same question, but I'm curious for you. Do you view this season as a failure?
Oh, my God. Okay, because I'm not that up. You asked me the same question last year, Eric. Okay, do you get a promotion every year on your job? No, right? So every year you work is a failure. Yes or no? No. Every year you work towards something, towards a goal, right? Which is to get a promotion, to be able to take care of your family, to be able, provide a house for them or take care of your parents. You work towards a goal. It's not a failure. It's steps to success, you know? And if you've never, I don't want to make it personal. So, there's always steps to it. You know, Michael Jordan played 15 years, won 6 championships. The other 9 years was a failure? That's what you're telling me? No, I'm asking you a question. Yes or no? Okay, exactly. So why are you asking me that question? It's a wrong question. There's no failure in sports. You know, there's good days, bad days. Some days you are able to be successful, some days you're not. Some days it's your turn, some days it's not your turn. And that's what sport is about. You don't always win. Some other people's going to win. And this year, somebody else is going to win. Simple as that. We're going to come back next year, try to be better, try to build good habits, try to play better, not have a 10-day stretch with playing bad basketball. You know, and hopefully we can win a championship. So 50 years from 1971 to 2021 that we didn't win a championship, it was 50 years of failures? No, it was not. It was steps to it, you know, and we were able to win one. Hopefully we can win another one. You know, I didn't want to make it personal because you asked me the same question last year, and I was in the mind space to answer the question back.
All right, that audio is courtesy of the National Basketball Association, the NBA. So Giannis was asked the question if he thought the season was a failure, and Giannis said there's no failure in sports. He made it perfectly clear. He said, you know, there's good days, bad days, not just in sports, but just in the game of life. And let me just be the first to say this. Again, as I stated earlier, Giannis Antetokounmpo has been one of my favorite players in the NBA for a long time. Just his story is just amazing. Being the son of Nigerian immigrants growing up in Athens, Greece, him along with his brothers, Thanasis and Alex, starting off and from a very humble beginnings and making their way to the NBA. Now, as far as what was discussed in terms of was the season a failure? Yes, the season was a failure. I mean, the Bucks were the number one seed coming into the playoffs. They took on a team, the Miami Heat, the 8th seed. Now, may I remind you, Miami lost their first play-in game in this year's play-in tournament. They had an opportunity to redeem themselves to take on the Chicago Bulls in the second play-in game in the play-in tournament. They wind up beating the Bulls in the play-in tournament to take the 8th seed. But all of the expectations were high for Milwaukee this year. The Bucks, the number one seed, having a chance to try to get back to championship ways. I mean, it's hard to believe it's only been 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago that the Bucks won their NBA championship. So you have Milwaukee as the number one seed, and then Boston number two, and then Philadelphia right at number three. So the expectations were high. If you look at Milwaukee's roster, aside from Giannis Antetokounmpo, you've got Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez. Also, you've got Grayson Allen, Bobby Portis, and so on, and Pat Connaughton. That roster just within itself is the makings of an NBA championship team, even an Eastern Conference Finals team. Now, if you look at Miami's roster, Jimmy Butler, a.k.a. Jimmy Buckets. Listen, Jimmy Butler will walk through a brick wall to score a point. He will fight. He will claw. He will scratch his way to victory. You've got Jimmy Butler, but then also you've got guys on the roster like Bam Adebayo, one of my favorites. But you know what Bam brings to the table offensively. He's primarily a defensive specialist and a rebounder. And then you also have Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero was out for much of this series due to a broken right hand. You've got Ken Robinson, who was in and out for much of this series. So on paper, Milwaukee, this was for the taking. And unfortunately, they didn't live up to the hype. So was this series a failure? Yes, this season was a failure. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo a failure? Absolutely not. And I think Giannis, with this press conference, and I guess in the heat of the moment, and I love how Giannis composed himself. He said, let me stop for a second. I don't want to make this personal. And I'm so glad that he did that, because he said that and he gave himself an opportunity to get his thoughts together, get composure, just try to get clarity on a tough situation in a very tough moment. You just lost not only a game, you lost a playoff series. Your season's over with. And I love how he collected his thoughts and addressed that member of the media with grace and clarity. So bottom line is this. Was this season a failure for the Milwaukee Bucks? Yes, it was. Is Giannis Antetokounmpo a failure? Absolutely not. Is his life a failure? Absolutely not. And I think what Giannis said is a testament not just to professional athletes, but just people from all walks of life, whether you are an entrepreneur, whether you're a teacher, whether you work at the bank, whether you a garbage man, or you a woman, you own a beauty salon, whatever occupation that you're in, you are not a failure. It's not, you know, you earn an honest living. You're a hardworking person. You're law abiding. You pay your taxes, and you are not a failure. You are a pillar of hope in your community. Now, granted, what Giannis was saying is that, yeah, there are times, and there continue to be times in my life where for all of the achievements and all the accolades and all of the amazing things that I've done in my life and all of the things that God has brought me out of and has brought me through, you know, there are times when I felt like a failure, when things aren't moving as quickly, when things aren't, I'm not hitting certain benchmarks or certain things just are not happening at the right time. But I have to remind myself periodically that, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel and the sun will shine again. And thank you, Giannis, for shedding light on that in terms of failures and no failures in sports and things of that nature. And I see more championships in Giannis's future down the road. They've got to get things worked out in Milwaukee. I don't know what's going to happen next season for Coach Mike Budenholzer, Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton. We'll see if they can prove on the bench. But bottom line is this, Giannis's message in terms of failure, not just for athletes, but for everybody, for all walks of life, is that, you know, there are no failures. You just get back out there, you keep trying, and you keep trying until you succeed. And, you know, well put, Giannis. And hopefully you and the Milwaukee Bucks can get back to winning ways and championship ways real soon. My next storyline is going to be Dylan Brooks. You know, there's a saying that goes, sometimes in life, sometimes in life, you can be all steak and no sizzle. Well, Dylan Brooks is a perfect example of being all steak and no sizzle. Out of all the things that he could have done in his basketball career, he had the nerve to say he was poking the bear and had the gold players of all time, LeBron James, and saying that no one had dropped a 40. He didn't respect anyone that didn't drop a 40 piece on him, score 40 points on him. Man, there's a saying that also goes, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And Dylan Brooks got his wish, and I'm sure he is definitely eating crow right now. The Memphis Grizzlies lost to the Los Angeles Lakers in a 6-game series. Dylan Brooks was out of sight and out of mind. He was eating plenty of crow with hot sauce and all of the fixings. And I'm just going to go over some of his game stats in the series against the Lakers. Game one, 15 points, 5 of 13 from the field, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 rebound, 3 assists. Game 3, 7 points, 3 of 13 from the field, 2 rebounds, 1 steal. Game 4, 11 points, 4 of 11 from the field, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Okay, here's the kicker, because it doesn't get any better than this. Game 5, 8 points, 3 of 15 from the field, 2 rebounds. And then in game 6, only 10 points, 4-11 from the field, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. Kabir. It's another thing to not only talk foolishness about one of the greatest players of all time, but it's also another thing when you're constantly running your mouth and you can't back it up. I mean, come on, 15 points, 12 points, 7 points, 11 points, 8 points, and 10 points? This is crazy. This is, I mean, if you're going to talk trash and all this other stuff, man, you got to back it up, man. And I think not only did he do a disservice to himself, he did a disservice to his team, considering what they went through the last month and a half of the regular season with the whole Ja Morant situation and then Steven Adams and Brandon Clark being out for the season due to injuries. If he really wanted to be the leader and really wanted to step up, let your play do the talking, bro. Yeah, you know, running your mouth, trash talking, blah, 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 all that, you know, it's cool for a season, but come on, man. The real talking is on the court. You didn't deliver, my friend. You poked the bear. You talked about one of the greatest players of all time, and then when it was time for you to show up, you put up enough bricks to build a house just like that. And that's so unreal. And you can't do anything like that, my friend. And I don't know what's going to happen this offseason for the Memphis Grizzlies, but they've got a lot of decisions to make in this offseason. And at the top of the food chain is Dylan Brooks, because he has been a liability, and he was an extreme liability for them the second half of this NBA season going into the playoffs. My gosh, and now they've got this situation to deal with. So it's going to be interesting what the Grizzlies do in the offseason. But man, Dylan Brooks, major liability. I don't see how the Memphis Grizzlies give him a contract extension, a long-term deal. If they try to extend him, they may give him no more than maybe a two-year deal, maybe 3 years max. I don't know. I don't get it. I just don't know, man. You cannot – the NBA playoffs are a whole nother animal, and the competition is ferocious and is fierce, and you got to be up on your job. You got to do it. And Dylan Brooks, as I stated before, all steak and no sizzle. And Memphis, they've got a lot of soul searching to do in this offseason when it comes to him, if they're even going to try to give him an extension give him a contract extension. And for my last storyline, how about the New York Knicks? The New York Knicks making their first playoff appearance since the 2020-2021 season when they lost in the first round to the Atlanta Hawks. I know everybody remembers that series, right, with Trae Young coming into Madison Square Garden doing his thing, right? Well, 3 years later, the Knicks...
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping, and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Made some changes in the offseason, including getting the biggest fish in the pond in this past free agent period, Jalen Brunson. Boy, you talk about a game changer. You talk about an X factor for the New York Knicks. Jalen Brunson has had a phenomenal year this year, and he continued to shine bright for the Knicks in the series against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, his play makes a world of difference, and not just Jalen Brunson, but R.J. Barrett, Josh Hart, Emmanuel Quickley, also Mitchell Robinson coming in with the defense and the rebounding. Julius Randle. Julius has been decent. I know he was benched in one of the games in the series against Cavaliers, but man, it's really been about R.J. It's been about Josh Hart, also Emmanuel, Mitchell, and of course, Jalen Brunson. Man, the New York Knicks, they hit the Powerball jackpot this past offseason during the free agency period in getting Jalen Brunson. The sky is definitely the limit for the New York Knicks, man. They've got a lot of momentum going for them, and they're going to be going up against the Miami Heat in the second round of the playoffs, which I'll get into that series in just a moment. But, you know, it's always refreshing when you see small market teams doing well. But when you not only have small market teams doing well, but when you also have the big market teams doing well, like New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, just to name a few, it makes the NBA even more intriguing, because it's not just big market teams always getting the glory and not just the small market teams, but you see the nice balance. And it's fun to see the Knicks currently in their winning ways again at the top of the food chain when it comes to the playoffs. So again, kudos to the New York Knicks. Kudos to Tom Thibodeau. And the Magic is back, Town Manhattan. The Magic is back at MSG in Madison Square Garden. So big ups to the New York Knicks. I know Spike Lee and Tracy Morgan and all the Knicks fans are excited about the great times that are happening, not just with the Knicks, but just with New York City, just New York sports as a whole, with the official welcoming of Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. So it's a lot happening in New York sports right now, and certainly the Knicks are at the top of the food chain right now. So definitely great times once again at MSG at Madison Square Garden in Midtown Manhattan. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll give you the series leads and wins in the 2023 first round NBA playoff matchups, and also we'll give you some of the season award winners. That's coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, let's get you caught up on the first round playoff matchups in the 2023 NBA playoffs. Let's start off in the Eastern Conference. So the 8 seed Miami Heat beat the number 1 seed Milwaukee Bucks, winning the series 4-1. Again, it ended in 5 games with Miami beating Milwaukee 4-1. And then also we had the 5th seed New York Knicks beating the 4th seed Cleveland Cavaliers in 5 games, with New York winning the series 4-1. And then also in the Eastern Conference, we had the 3rd seed Philadelphia 76ers beating the 6th seed Brooklyn Nets, sweeping them 4-0. And then we had the 2nd seed Boston Celtics going up against the 7th seed Atlanta Hawks. So Boston would go on to beat Atlanta in 6 games, winning the series 4-2. So that sets the stage for our second round NBA playoff matchups in the conference semifinals. We have a blast from the past with the Miami Heat going up against the New York Knicks. Oh my goodness, this is so refreshing of the 90s and the early 2000s. So the Heat and Knicks, this is definitely going to be, I guess you could say, a rivalry renewed, so to speak. So this is going to be a lot of fun. And of course, this is a rivalry that's been going on for decades, and it just continues to get better and better. Where we have the Philadelphia 76ers going up against rivalry, you think of Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain and Larry Bird and Dr. J. Julius Erving and Allen Iverson and Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen, just to name a few. So Philly and Boston are going to be exciting with Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, James Harden, Jaylen Brown, just to name a few. This is going to be exciting as a rivalry continues with Philly and Boston. Let's move over now to the Western Conference. So in the first round series, the number 1 seed Denver Nuggets would beat the 8 seed Minnesota Timberwolves in 5 games. Denver wins the series 4-1. And then you've got the 4th seed Phoenix Suns going up against the 5th seed Los Angeles Clippers. In a 5-game series, Phoenix would beat the Clippers 4-1. The 2nd seed Memphis Grizzlies were upset by the 7th seed Los Angeles Lakers in 6 games. The Lakers would win 4-2. And then currently, as this show is airing, the Sacramento Kings, the 3rd seed, going up against the 6th seed Golden State Warriors. The series is currently tied at 3 games apiece, and they will play in a 7th game to decide who will play the Lakers in the second round. So in the conference semifinals in the second round in the Western Conference, we're going to have the Denver Nuggets going up against the Phoenix Suns. Man, you talk about an exciting series. Nikola Jokic, the reigning 2-time league MVP, Jamal Murray, Jeff Green, Michael Porter Jr. Also, you've got Aaron Gordon. The list goes on and on and on. With that talent that Denver has, they're going to be going up against a team that is on a mission with the Phoenix Suns, with Kevin Durant, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. The list goes on with Phoenix. So Denver and Phoenix, man, this is going to be a long series. I don't expect 5 games, and I don't expect 6 games. This is going to go down to the wire. This is going to go 7 games. And then in the other series, we have the Los Angeles Lakers waiting on the winner of Sacramento and Golden State. Now, if the Golden State Warriors going up against the Los Angeles Lakers, it should be a great series, but I would like to see Sacramento and the Lakers. I think this would be a throwback, again, similar to Miami and New York. Sacramento and the L.A. Lakers would be a throwback of the 90s and the early 2000s. If, for those of you that remember the Kings-Lakers rivalry, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, the late, great Kobe Bryant, Rick Fox, Robert Horry, Derek Fisher, going up against the Sacramento Kings with Chris Webber and Bobby Jackson and Peja Stojakovic, Mike Bibby, Vlade Divac, Scott Pollard, the list goes on and on. So Warriors and Lakers would be exciting, but man, if you get Kings and Lakers, it would be nostalgia all over again, like Miami and New York. So that's where we stand currently in the conference semifinals matchups in both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. All right, before we go to break, though, I want to give you some more NBA award winners during the 2022-2023 NBA season. Once again, a congratulations to this year's Rookie of the Year representing the Orlando Magic, Carol. Again, Paolo had a fantastic year this year for the young upstart Orlando Magic. The other finalists for the Rookie of the Year representing the Utah Jazz, Walker Kessler, and representing the Oklahoma City Thunder, Jalen Williams. So again, congratulations to Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic for winning this year's Rookie of the Year. And congratulations to Lauri Markkanen from the Utah Jazz for winning this year's Most Improved Player of the Year award. Other finalists for this award was Jalen Brunson from the New York Knicks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. So again, congratulations to Lauri Markkanen from the Utah Jazz for winning the Most Improved Player of the Year award. And also some other award winners to pass along to you. Again, Jaren Jackson Jr. from the Memphis Grizzlies winning Defensive Player of the Year. Malcolm Brogdon from the Boston Celtics winning the Sixth Man of the Year. De'Aaron Fox from the Sacramento Kings winning the Clutch Player of the Year. And Mike Brown from the Sacramento Kings winning Coach of the Year. So congratulations to our award winners, and congratulations again to Paolo Banchero from the Orlando Magic for winning Rookie of the Year, and Lauri Markkanen from the Utah Jazz for winning. All right, when we come back from the break, we have an interview with Jay Johnson, co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast. The podcast covers the NBA from a woman's perspective. On the program, we discuss her beloved Toronto Raptors, including former head coach Nick Nurse. Also, we talk about the NBA's presence in Toronto. We also talk about this season that just passed for the Toronto Raptors, the atmosphere at Raptors games, and so much more. Jade is coming up after the break. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
Again.
Oh, happens all the time with old Betsy.
Have you checked out Carvana yet? They have thousands of cars for under $20,000.
But do those thousands of cars have personality like old Betsy?
Betsy's held together by tape, and there are raccoons living in the engine.
It's a family car.
There are flames on the hood.
Custom paint job.
No, Dad, the car's on fire.
How many cars did you say Carvana had?
Visit Carvana.com to shop thousands of cars for under $20,000. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today. Barney. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Here's Beverly on the baseline. 12 on the shot clock. He touches the paint. Had it knocked away by those active hands from Van Vliet. Siakam in transition. Got it.
Turn the corner in about January. Defending Siakam here.
And nothing but net for Pascal Siakam.
Siakam has a mismatch here. A long two is good.
Siakam over Drummond. Connects. Foul called, and Siakam knocks down the short jumper.
Van Vliet on the fly. Tough shot. And Siakam with the follow. 2.7 to go. Barnes to trigger. Here's Van Vliet. Got it off in time. Got it! Oh, Fred Van Vliet! Right, and Anunoby himself with 8 points in the ballgame. Off the turnover, here's Van Vliet. Hit that half-court buzzer beater to give them that big lead. And inside, a nice pass to Poeltl. They're trying to pass it out to Van Vliet for three. Got it! Lean in his stance defensively against Van Vliet. Van Vliet playing with his food out front. A high-arcing three. Oh! West!
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NBA on ESPN. That was Mark Jones on the call of the game from the 2023 NBA play-in tournament from April the 12th of 2023 as Toronto Raptors players Pascal Siakam and Fred Van Vliet were in action against the Chicago Bulls. And currently, the Raptors had a solid year. They qualified for the play-in tournament. Unfortunately, things did not go well, but to talk more about the Raptors 2022-2023 season, as well as Nick Nurse and so much more, let's welcome her back to the program. We haven't talked to her in quite some time, but it's always great to have her back on. She's the co-creator of the Hard Court Honeys podcast. Of course, it's a podcast dedicated to anything and everything related to the NBA and, of course, the Toronto Raptors, a.k.a. We the North. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome her back, Jade Johnson. Hey, Jade, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Ed, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So before we go into detail about the Raptors season that just ended, I want to start off with talking about, now we can say, former head coach Nick Nurse. We know that Nick has had an extensive track record. Of course, we know about the year that the Raptors won the NBA championship in 2019, also the year in the bubble. He would go on to win the Coach of the Year award. And, of course, certainly someone, again, that's put up a unique track record in such a short amount of time. Give me your thoughts on Coach Nurse's time as the head coach of the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, man. Nick Nurse is always going to be a legend among Toronto Raptors fans. It was such an important change at such an important time for the Raptors to go from Coach Casey to Nick Nurse. And a lot like I feel about Dwayne Casey, you know, I'm going to look back with fondness on the time that he spent as Raptors head coach. But also it felt very clear, and obviously also to the Raptors organization, that 10 years is a long time with one organization. That's how long he's with the Raptors altogether between assistant coaching and head coaching. And it was probably the right time for everybody to move on.
Yeah, again, he was there in such a short amount of time, and he did great things, of course. A couple of playoff appearances and, of course, winning the NBA championship his first year with Toronto. I want to stay just with Coach Nurse, and you mentioned about just it was time to move on. Do you think with Kawhi, with the one and done, the 1 year he was there in Toronto, of course, winning the NBA championship, do you think that had something to do with it in terms of him and the organization wanted to move on, or was it going on with players? Was there things going on with him and Masai Ujiri? Can you go more into detail about that?
Yeah, so I'll echo what Masai said in the press conference right after Nick Nurse let go, and that there's no one thing that you can point to. I think a lot of it starts all the way back with the fact that as a championship team, the Raptors didn't get to travel and have their home games as champions at home because the following season was in the bubble. So even from then, like, it has been a non-traditional route for the Raptors. Last season, of course, we had Scottie Barnes as Rookie of the Year, and the team seemed to be getting some momentum. And for whatever reasons this season, that didn't happen. Some fans say that it seemed like Nick Nurse had lost the locker room. I don't know if I believe that. We didn't have the – obviously, when you talk about Kawhi Leonard, it's easier to coach a team when you've got a guy like that on there who you can always look to for the right play offensively, defensively, all the time. It makes the coach's job a lot easier. And for the Raptors this year, the roster was a bit of an experiment. Scotty Barnes had a bit of what some people might call a sophomore slump in terms of comparisons to his rookie of the year season. So it was a lot of things kind of coming together, I think.
Well, you know, one thing's for sure, you know, Nick Nurse is a very talented coach, and it won't be long before he'll have another job once again in the NBA, that's for sure. All right,
absolutely.
So let's move along now to almost definitely. So we'll move along now to the 2022-2023 Toronto Raptors. And I want to start off with the gentleman that you mentioned, and that's Scotty Barnes. Again, Barnes, last year's Rookie of the Year. Again, had a nice year this year. Again, as you mentioned earlier, some people may say it was a sophomore slump. I think Scotty had a decent year this year. He improved his shooting in his second year in the league. Give me your thoughts on Scotty's season.
Yeah, so I say some people call it a sophomore slump because I personally don't. I think people forget that when a rookie comes into the NBA and they're really good really fast, the curve for them in the next season flattens a bit. There's only so many strides forward a player can take in so much amount of time. So anytime there's a rookie of the year, like, it's not surprising to me that their next season comparably is not quite there. So I didn't have the same issues with Scotty's season as a lot of, I know some Raptors fans did. And like you said, he did improve his shooting. He looked great out there. He still makes the right decisions. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. And he's always so positive. He's always just so happy to be there. And that's an important part of a team coming together.
All right. Yeah, and definitely, again, Scotty having a nice sophomore year this year. I mentioned earlier improving his shooting. He definitely stepped up his field goal percentage this year. So definitely big ups to Scotty as he made improvements slowly but surely in year two. I want to talk now about somebody that arrived from San Antonio, Jakob Poeltl. Jakob was a nice addition with the San Antonio Spurs in a short amount of time in San Antonio. But when he came to Toronto, he really stepped up his game, and he stepped up the play of his other teammates as well. Give me your thoughts on Jakob and his play during this season.
Yeah, Jakob. I was so excited to get him back. A lot of NBA fans don't know that the Raptors drafted Jakob originally, and he went to San Antonio in the Kawhi Leonard trade. And he has turned into exactly the kind of center that I thought he would be when he was in Toronto. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He has great footwork. He's able to stay in front of his man. He passes well. He plays the pick and roll well. Like, he's just the kind of guy that you drop into to whatever system, and he's going to be able to be productive for you. And that's no surprise, having come out of San Antonio. When he got traded, I was sad to see him go, but I was excited that he was going to get to play under Popovich. And it's so clear that how much that has helped him develop as a player.
Yeah, and definitely he is on track. And one thing I've always loved, excuse me for mispronouncing his first name, Jakob, is that his defense is,
yeah,
he's one of the most underrated defenders in the league, and I know he finished in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken, during a regular season in blocks. We talk about blocks, you know, we talk about Jaren Jackson Jr., who led the league in blocks and won the Defensive Player of the Year award, but definitely Jakob Poeltl is someone that's an underrated defender. And
definitely.
I want to talk now just briefly, and I want to talk now about, we talk about defense. He led the league in steals per game this year. OG Anunoby. OG has had his struggles with injuries, but when he's on the court, he provides a toughness, specifically on the defensive side. OG and his play.
Oh, OG is my favorite Toronto Raptor currently on the roster. It's been so nice to see him be a bit more healthy this season, still in and out. But I mean, that's been more of a thing across the whole league with injuries. But it's amazing to have a guy that you can put out there and know that the best players that come into your building, there's somebody to put on them, there's somebody to slow them down. And not only does OG slow them down, he frequently holds other teams' best players to their season's worst performances. So that's amazing. But also this year, he was able to also step up his offense, which has been a really nice additional piece since for his defense, he's got to be on the floor anyways. And just to see him work so hard, because defense is a lot more energy than it takes to do offense. So to see him running both sides of the floor, being productive, fingers crossed that he's able to stay a little bit healthier next season.
Yeah, definitely, because OG, as we mentioned earlier, when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the league, specifically one of the top defenders in the league. So big ups to OG on having a solid year. He led the league in steals, and again, a solid year for him. He was able to stay healthy for the most part. And I want to talk now about Gary Trent Jr. Gary really stepped up his game coming over from Portland just a couple of seasons ago, and he really made a big difference in terms of putting points on the board for Toronto. Give me your thoughts on Gary and his play during the season.
Yeah, Gary's one of those guys who's just always ready to do whatever you ask him to do. He's the kind of guy that if you ask him to play off the bench, he's going to play off the bench exactly the same as he starts. He's very tough. He's not the kind of guy that's going to get pushed around too much. And he, you know, all of the Raptors had some streaky parts in the season. It's part of why it was hard to get kind of any momentum going more, you know, a couple of wins before there was another loss and to end up at 500. But Gary is hopefully a guy that we're able to keep around. I know that the front office is looking at everything this offseason, including the roster makeup. So hopefully he's able to stay around, and with the coaching change, everybody will, fingers crossed, come together next season.
All right, and speaking of fingers crossed, you know, someone that since he's been a member of the Raptors, he's been one of the most underrated players in the league and someone who's quiet workhorse, multiple All-Stars. Also, he's won a Most Improved Player of the Year award, not to mention he's an NBA champion. Spicy P, Pascal Siakam, and Pascal, again, another typical year for Pascal. He had an all-time high in points per game. He also led the league in minutes played this year. You talk about someone that is durable, someone that has the stamina. I mean, this guy can go, and he's been like that for so long, getting points outside and inside in the paint as well as being one of the best defenders. And as I mentioned earlier, his durability. Give me your thoughts on Pascal and his season that just passed.
Yeah, it was so nice. At the beginning of the season, I had a few Raptors friends I was talking to that were like, oh, Pascal's the problem, Pascal this, Pascal that. I'm like, man, you all are crazy. Look at these numbers from last season. And he just continued right where he left off from last season. The rebounding was there. The passing was there. And the points were there. He, like you said, he's a workhorse. He's always playing. It's so remarkable for somebody who didn't pick up a basketball till he was 17 years old to be able to do what he does out there day in, day out. Whether or not he is going to be kind of the spiritual leader, the locker room leader of the Raptors, I don't know if that's really in the cards, but as long as he keeps going out there and doing what he's doing, and he's the kind of guy, he's going to find a way to get better this offseason. He's going to work out. He's going to work on something and come back better. So you love to have that as from your one of your leading scorers on your team.
I want to stay just with Pascal for a moment. We talked earlier about the coaching change with Nick Nurse no longer being the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. There's been speculations about Pascal and his future with the team and contracts and things of that nature. What have you heard in terms about Pascal in terms of does he want to be in Toronto in the long term, or will he exercise other options and test free agency? What's the latest in terms of Pascal and his future status with Toronto?
So my guess with Pascal is that he would have learned from Kyle Lowry while Kyle was still a Toronto Raptor that in free agency, you explore your options, even if you want to stay with the team you're with. That's just the smart thing to do as a player. And I expect, I'm going to rephrase that, I wouldn't be surprised if he does consider other options, but ultimately stay in Toronto.
All right, fair enough. I would love for him to stay in Toronto a little bit longer. I think really him, along with Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, and, of course, the next gentleman that we'll talk about in just a moment, Fred VanVleet, that was really the core of that championship team. And Pascal is one of the few remnants from that team. I would love for him to remain in Toronto a little bit longer. But as they say, you never know. You go and explore your options and see what's out there. And speaking of which, one of my favorite players in the NBA, Fred VanVleet, not a fast guy, but someone that's tough, one of the best shooters in the NBA. Again, he had another typical Fred VanVleet year. Made his first All-Star – well, actually, he made his first All-Star team last year. But, again, what can you say about Fred? Another decent year for him. Point percentage, three-point attempts, doing what Fred does best. Fred in his season.
Yeah, Fred is – Fred's that guy, right? The bet on yourself guy. He always comes out and works hard. He makes the right decision more often than he makes the wrong one. He's a willing passer. He's the kind of piece that everybody wants on their team. We call him Steady Freddy in Toronto because just he's always even. He's always on an even keel. He's always steady for the team. So, which made it even more entertaining for us as Raptors fans when he had his episode about the refs this season, which, you know, more than one fellow NBA player took their hat off to him for that. But he's that guy. He's going to say how he feels. He's going to play hard. I don't know that he's going to be back as a Raptor. I suspect he's going to want more money than Masai and company are willing to offer him. So I'm kind of mentally preparing for that in advance.
I want to stay just with that because that was going to segue into my next question in terms with Fred and his future in Toronto. What have you heard going forward? You mentioned about Masai Ujiri and the rest in Raptor management. You know, Fred is going to want more money. Can you go more into detail about that in terms of contracts, future negotiations, and what his future could be in Toronto, whether he is in Toronto or not?
Yeah, so the part of it I should mention, too, besides the money, which, you know, Fred is what, like we talked about, his shooting, his All-Star appearances. He is the kind of piece that you could put onto a team that's on the way up, starting to develop, kind of on the cusp to kind of put them over the edge. And I think the Raptors realize that right now we're a few steps away from being that team. And that team's going to pay Fred, I think, more than the Raptors are going to be able to, especially looking kind of into the future, also trying to retain Gary Trent Jr. If we're talking about another 4 years, we're looking at Scottie's rookie contract ending in that time as well. So there's just a lot of things coming together. But also in terms of the play style, it's going to depend a lot on what kind of roster moves the front office decides to make in the offseason, because right now they're playing fairly positionless basketball a lot of the time, especially when Fred isn't on the floor. And when he is on the floor, the offense didn't always work as well with Freddie surrounded by all the 6'9" positionless players around him. So it's also going to depend on who they hire as a head coach. And does that person see a way to make the offense work a little bit better with the current roster, or is the roster going to change? As of right now, as we speak, there are just a lot of things kind of up in the air that are going to affect whether or not the Raptors try to retain Fred, whether or not he decides to move on in free agency.
You did mention about when Fred is on the court, it's definitely – he's a shooting guard. I know during the Kyle Lowry era, his natural position is shooting guard. And yeah. I know when Kyle left and they moved him over to have him kind of – they kind of have him playing combo, like point guard / shooting guard. I think Freddie is just so much better just as a pure shooting guard and then doing the defense and also doing the rebounding. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened. So I would love to see Fred, be in Toronto. But wherever he goes, I'm sure he's going to be a valuable asset to any team. And I want to talk now just about the NBA's presence in Toronto. We know about the Raptors being in the NBA. They've been in the league, I should say, since mid-90s, late 90s. And the Raptors really took off when Vince Carter joined the Raptors. And we know those great seasons that they had when Vince was a member of that team. And then later some great seasons with Chris Bosh. And, of course, the championship year with Kawhi and so on and so forth. Also, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. We know Canada is hockey country. We know that a lot of people, a lot of kids cut their teeth on ice, but we know that the NBA's presence overwhelming in Toronto. Can you go more into detail about the NBA's presence and the whole makeup things, how they're impacted in Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, Canada loves the Raptors. Especially, of course, since the championship, they gained a lot of new fans. But, basketball is kind of the alternative for those of us who aren't super into hockey. And I was one of those people, even growing up, all I wanted to do was hoop and I could never find a game. So having the Raptors come, a lot of people think that Canada got into basketball because the Raptors came. No, the Raptors were the answer to a lot of us who were asking for the NBA to be in Canada, as well as the Vancouver Grizzlies back in the day, came in at the same time in 95. And the other thing that's made the NBA more relevant in Canada is there are so many Canadian players in the league right now, more than any other country other than U.S., more Canadians than we've ever had before, from Jamal Murray out in Denver. Shaedon Sharpe is from London, Ontario. Chris Boucher on the Raptors is from Montreal. And that's just, the first three that came to the top of my head. So now there's a reason to follow the NBA at large for Canadians that there never used to be, because there are local guys now playing all over the league.
It's so much fun. Me being living in North America, me being American living in the United States, when I found out that the Raptors, well, Toronto was going to get an NBA team. And then you mentioned about the Grizzlies. People in this generation say the Grizzlies are in Memphis. The Grizzlies moved to Memphis from Vancouver. So I remember vividly when both of those Canadian cities were going to get NBA franchises, Toronto and, of course, Vancouver. So definitely it changes everything. And it's exciting to see our neighbors to the north really enjoy stages with the NBA's presence in Toronto. Before Vince Carter arrived and became a member of the Raptors, were people in Canada inspired by not just Michael Jordan, but the Dream Team? And it just took off from there before the NBA was awarded a franchise, two franchises, in Canada?
For sure. It's funny, I was just thinking about the other day, I remember being in grade school and playing basketball with this boy that always had his tongue hanging out because Michael Jordan did it. It was the Bulls. It was the Pistons for me. I live from where I sit in my studio here. I can see a river, and across the river is Michigan. So I grew up on the Pistons. The Bad Boys era, the championship with Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, that team. And then I moved to Toronto, and it just, of course, made more sense to start following the Raptors. But, yeah, there was definitely a population in Canada that loved the NBA. I remember watching it on at my Nana's house, the All-Star game, all the cousins would be there, all the aunts and uncles. So yeah, basketball has been, in some Canadians' hearts for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely sounds like you guys really, you mentioned the bit, I mean, who could forget about the Bad Boys era, Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Dennis Rodman before the hair color and the tattoos and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Before, yeah, I remember that as well. That was definitely a lot of fun right there. And I want to stay just with the Toronto Raptors for a moment. Are you familiar with a Raptors super fan named Nav Bhatia?
Of course.
Okay, I interviewed Mr. Bhatia not too long ago, and he's a Toronto Raptors super fan. And I asked him about the atmosphere at Raptors games, and he said it was electric. Well, of course, he's going to say it's electric because he's a super fan, and he's been sitting in the front row. He's had season tickets since the team, the franchise, was awarded to Toronto. So I'll ask you this question. What's the atmosphere like at Toronto Raptors games?
Oh, Raptors games are fun. I try to get to at least one home game every season. They're always sold out. Fans are always engaged. There's always the game I went to this past season was a Bulls game. And, you know, the fans, every time Goran Dragic touched the ball, booed every single time for the entire game. That's how, like, committed Raptors fans are to the experience and the fun of being there and supporting our team.
Cool deal. And I want to move over now to NBA players from Canada. Again, we're seeing the explosion of NBA players from the Great White North. Of course, the ones that grew up on Vince Carter and, of course, the ones that had a chance to see DeMar DeRozan play. I mean, we've seen a great crop of talent come from Canada, as you mentioned some of the names with Jamal Murray and Chris Boucher, also Lou Dort, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Tristan Thompson, also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Shaedon Sharpe, just to name a few. What is it about basketball in Canada that we're seeing this renaissance or this, I guess you could say, this wave of great players coming from Canada and making their mark in the NBA?
Yeah, you know what I think this is really about? I think a lot of American fans think that the Raptors were only dear to us after they won a championship. But if you look at all of these players, 42 guys, all said and done in the history of the NBA. But, like, right now, so many Canadians in the NBA. These guys are proof that basketball has been huge in Canada before the Raptors won. Because all of these boys were already playing basketball. They're already hooping in Canada before 2019 to be in the NBA right now. And I'm so excited about it. I can't wait till one of them decides to come home and play for the team that they grew up watching.
That should be something right there. And again, we're seeing the players have just been phenomenal coming from Canada, those names that we mentioned earlier. And I just want to get back to the Raptors for a moment. We've seen great fans from different teams in the NBA. There's Knicks fans. They have their cheering section outside of Madison Square Garden. There's Warriors fans. They have their cheering section outside of the Chase Center in San Francisco. There's also Lakers fans, there's Clippers fans, the Milwaukee Bucks, they have their cheering section as well outside of their arena. But there's a specific cheering section outside of the Scotiabank Arena in downtown Toronto where Raptors fans gather at called Jurassic Park. Can you explain to the listeners what Jurassic Park is all about and what type of things do they have to do in that area, whether it be restaurants or night spots, whatever it is? Can you explain that to the listeners?
Yeah. So Jurassic Park is an area right outside of Scotiabank Arena where the Raptors play. And this became a thing during the Raptors playoff run where they would play the games, home or away games, but really the away games were the event, on the huge screen outside in the square. And that, as the Raptors continued on through the playoffs, hundreds of Jurassic Parks popped up all across the country. But official Jurassic Park in Toronto outside Scotiabank Arena is there every game, once the weather's nice. And sometimes when the weather's not so nice, depending on where the Raptors are in the season and how they're doing. And it's right downtown Toronto from Lake Ontario, very close to the CN Tower. Everything you could want is subway, bus, or walking distance from Scotiabank Arena. Plus, Drake has a restaurant inside. There's Ripley's Believe It or Not Aquarium is close by. There's just anything you could want to do right there next door to the Raptors.
I want to stay just with Drake for a moment. You mentioned that Drake has a restaurant. What's the name of it, and what type of items do they serve there?
It's inside Scotiabank Arena, I believe. I haven't eaten there because it's kind of expensive.
Okay.
It's not like your pub food kind of place. It's a fancy place. It's very nice.
Okay, solid. Well, Drake is a native son of Toronto, and he's a diehard Raptors fan as well. And you heard it from her. She's Jade Johnson. She is the co-host of the Hard Court Honeys podcast. Jade, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody about Hard Court Honeys and what's going on over there on the podcast.
Yes, so Hard Court Honeys is all about the ladies' takes on the NBA. So myself, Jade Auxiliary Things Johnson, I am co-hosted with Shay Vassar, who is a Brooklyn fan. She lives like two blocks from Barclay Center. And our moderator, TJ Rebound, who is from Minneapolis and is a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. So every week we get together, we discuss everything NBA, from the new collective bargaining agreement to what happens on the floor to the drama that surrounds these high-profile, high-pressure situations. And it's about an hour every week. We break down what's going on. We make predictions about our home teams. We do a little trivia. We have a great time, lots of laughs, a little pop culture thrown in there for fun. And you can find us everywhere you can get your podcasts, as well as YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just Google Hard Court Honeys, and you'll be able to find us.
Awesome. Now, Jay, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. Also, let people know one more time where they can find Hard Court Honeys on social media, where they can listen to the podcast and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm Twitter strictly for my hoops social media, so at Auxiliary Things, as well as my co-hosts at Shay Watches NBA and at TJ Rebound. And then for the podcast, at HC Honeys on Twitter, Hardcourt Honeys on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, we are there. We will be on Apple shortly. We are working on that one, but everywhere else, and as well as your Instagram and Facebook.
You heard it from her. She's Jade Johnson. She is the co-host of the Hard Court Honeys podcast, giving you the 411 on a great podcast that covers not just the NBA, but specifically her beloved Toronto Raptors, giving us a Canadian perspective on things. Jade, again, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Again, if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll be back with more right after.
Here's Beverly on the baseline. 12 on the shot clock. He touches the paint. Had it knocked away by those active hands from Van Vliet. Siakam in transition. Got it. Turned the corner in about January. Defending Siakam here. And nothing but net for Pascal Siakam. Siakam has a mismatch here. A long two is good. Siakam over Drummond. Connects. No foul called, and Siakam knocks down the short jumper. Van Vliet on the fly. Tough shot. And Siakam with the follow. 2.7 to go. Barnes to trigger. Here's Van Vliet. Got it off in time. Got it! Right, and Anunoby himself with 8 points in the ballgame. Off the turnover, here's Van Vliet. Hit that half-court buzzer beater to give them that big lead. And inside, a nice pass to Poeltl. They're trying to pass it out to Van Vliet for three. Got it! Lean in his stance defensively against Van Vliet. Van Vliet playing with his food out front. A high-arcing three. Oh! West!
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See plus terms and
conditions apply. See website for details. Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number
97. Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of At the Rim. Once again, a big special thank you to Jay Johnson, co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast. Again, thanks to her for coming on the program to discuss what's currently going on with the Toronto Raptors. And until next time, everybody, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to At the Rim.